to invite a dermatologist to join us and focus on the issue of hair loss. My guest with us today is Irene McLachlan, who practices at Cape Dermatology, which is based at the Mediclinic Louis Leipold in Bellville. And she specializes in cosmetic and preventative dermatology and has a very keen interest in holistic skin health, as well as the psychological impact of skin conditions. And really, it was that last bit that made my ears prick up when we were looking for a guest today, because hair loss is something which can have such a profound impact on one's self-esteem and one's self-confidence. So, Dr. Irene McLachlan, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure. The term alopecia is a very broad one. It refers generally to hair loss, but there are lots of different types and conditions within that description, aren't there?
Yeah. So, as I say, alopecia is actually a very fancy name that refers to hair loss, but not only on the scalp, on any hair-bearing area. So it can involve your eyebrows, your eyelashes, your beard area, even your axillas, your legs, your arms, anywhere where there are hair, it can involve that area. So it's more profound, and that is a fascinating condition that dermatologists treat. It can be also only hair loss on its own. It can be a skin condition affecting the hair, because that is why dermatologists are the best specialists to see in this condition. The same conditions that affect the skin can also affect the hair and the nails, and so it's one continuum. So it's a very broad condition. I can classify it in different ways. If you want me to go on, there's so hair loss. We can divide it into broad terms. We can say that there are conditions that are temporary. There's conditions that permanent. There's conditions that have scarring ability. So that is the permanent. There's like I said, secondary conditions. So that is quite important not to just use the word alopecia, but to really get to the root of the problem and to have a diagnosis.
Thanks for that. It's really important to know that there are different types with different causes. You know, I think most people hear the term hair loss and they'll immediately think of men as they grow older, starting to lose something at the temples. Are men more predisposed to it in general than women, or does it affect both genders equally?
Well, the one that you refer to is androgenetic alopecia, and that is a pattern hair loss. It is actually, you get male pattern hair loss and female pattern hair loss, and you can even get male pattern hair loss in females. So it becomes quite interesting, but it is actually a non-permanent. It's actually a cause of a temporary hair loss that can become permanent if you don't try to treat it and don't diagnose it early. That is quite a broad term. Again, it is a condition that is combined of so there's genetics involved. There's people that are that inherited from both their mother and the father the susceptibility gene to get this condition, and then the hormones do play a role. So that will the genetics will tell you at what time you will start with your hair loss, the progression, the pattern, and all those things. So there's so many things involved. It's not only a hormonal condition, but it's also a genetic condition that men and female can get.
Very different then from alopecia areata, which is an autoimmune disease, isn't it?
Yes. Alopecia areata is this also very fascinating condition that can sometimes happen overnight. It's like magic. Your hairdresser will be cutting your hair, and then they will say, but have you noticed this bald spot at the back of your head? Mm. It's also very, it is called an autoimmune condition. So it is also something that we see in people that have other autoimmune conditions. What happens is that your own body thinks that your own hair is bad, so it attacks. There's inflammatory cells that attacks your hair, and it looks like a swarm of bees that's around your bulb, and that will cause hair loss. And it is like a bald area of skin. It can be a few spots here or there, or only one spot. Like I said, it can affect your scalp, but it can also affect your beard area. And then you can get three clinics clinical patterns that the types that you get are only spot here or there, but some patients have complete, all their scalp hair will be lost, and in 1% of cases, people can actually lose all their hair on their entire body. So it is a condition that is also sometimes triggered by stress. And now in this COVID time that we are living in, the stress is emotional stress, physical stresses. So that's definitely a trigger for alopecia areata and also viral infections. It is quite relevant for this era that we are living in.
That's very interesting. Not surprising, perhaps, that any stress-related condition, I think, at the moment is seeing a lot of people complaining of aggravation. Irene, we've got a voice note in from a listener who has been there and walked this path and would like to share it with us, I think. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Pippa and listeners. On the alopecia front, I just want to say I've had it twice. I'm now 48, and I had it when I was a teenager, and I had it about 6 months ago, and I just want to say to anyone who has it, don't worry. Your hair is most likely going to grow back. Mine did both times. So, hang in there.
Oh, thank you for that, because that's so encouraging. Irene, I mentioned at the start the psychological impact of hair loss can be immense, and the anxiety of thinking it's never going to grow back can really aggravate that, can't it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's also important to just remember that there are people, they say about 40% of people with a single patch of hair loss will have full hair growth within 6 months. But you can always be one of the 60% that it doesn't happen with. And even a small spot in one person with thick hair, it can be different to the person that have thinner hair, or males that can't hide their scalps with hair extensions. So for everyone, it is completely different. I would still say that it is not something that you have to despair. I think the most important thing is get to a dermatologist, that they really examine you. Like I said, there are clinical differences. There are poor prognostic factors. Unfortunately, the younger you are, if there's a family history, if there's an associated autoimmune disease. So because this condition is an autoimmune disease, sometimes we must do blood tests also to make sure that you don't have the other autoimmune diseases such as thyroid conditions or any other skin patches on your body. So it is quite a complicated condition, and it's not all doom and gloom. That is important to know. But I think the one of the poor prognostic factors are the longer that you wait to be treated, and the bigger the area that is involved. So obviously, the quicker you come for an evaluation, and that you can really look out for poor prognostic factors so that we can actually treat it. So it is a treatable condition, although some people will have regrowth on its own.
Okay, let's talk about treatments, Irene. I mean, the treatment will depend on the cause of the alopecia, but in general, what are some of the things that can be used?
Okay, so basically that is the most important thing. You must make sure what is the diagnosis. We can't treat all hair loss conditions the same. So alopecia areata is definitely on its own, but it's important to sometimes make the diagnosis with a biopsy. Sometimes we need to do blood tests. We must make sure that if this is a primary hair condition, or is it because of the fact that you have thyroid problems of iron deficiency, and that can be the reason for your hair loss. And only then can you make an appropriate and correct treatment plan. Otherwise, the prognosis can be very bad, and I think people sometimes they make their own diagnosis. Unfortunately, they type in hair loss in a Google search, and they make their own diagnosis, and then if they go for treatment, then they make the wrong choices sometimes, and then the expectations can be unrealistic. So if you want me to talk about alopecia areata, it depends on children, whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, whether you have one spot or whether you have 10 spots. So sometimes it will just be that you apply cortisone, or we inject cortisone in that area if it's small, but we can sometimes give systemic steroids, systemic anti-inflammatory treatment, and you will notice that I don't use hair transplants and things like that in the beginning, and that is again with a diagnosis. So important to have the diagnosis. A person who's got male pattern baldness, for example, it will depend on the age of the patient. patients and their expectations that we want to meet. Sometimes we can give a lotion such as minoxidil, that is a blood pressure medication that you can apply. And these days you can also get tablets that you can drink, and that is to stimulate the hair growth. And in some instances, again, based on realistic expectations, we can give hormonal tablets that will alter the enzyme that that puts the hormones into the wrong hormone, and that affects the hair growth in male pattern baldness. So definitely every diagnosis has its own treatment plan, and it's not a one-fit-for-all therapy. It is literally diagnosis-based.
Yeah. For those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest on the line is Dr. Irene McLaughlin, a Cape Town dermatologist who's giving us some very helpful insight into the causes of hair loss and the possible treatments for it. Now, one thing we haven't spoken about is whether actual hair treatment and styling processes and products have something to play here. And I believe we've got a voice note on that subject. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, Papa. Could you please, it's Melanie here, could you please ask your guest if hair chemical treatment can cause hair loss? For example, the popular home perms of the 1980s. And would the hair loss or hair thinning be permanent?
Great question. Thank you. Irene, would you like to respond?
Yeah. Unfortunately, like I said, there are some of the temporary hair loss conditions that can become permanent if you don't address them. For example, styling practices, if you use a lot of heat and you and traction, sometimes with the braids that people put in heavy, heavy ponytails, or you cause this traction, and I see it even in the young children with these tight ponytails and all these ways that people dress them up these days. Some of those things are really heavy, and that traction will cause permanent hair loss. The chemicals, there are unfortunately some chemicals that are probably not good for your hair. I would definitely, it can even affect the scalp of your skin, and not the skin on the scalp, and not only the hair. And then the heat and the chemicals and all those things, depending on how often you do that. There's also a permanent condition that your hair permanently falls out. It's usually around the age of 50, and it's also there's some genetic predisposition to that. So you will never know if you are one of those people. And it balds, like, so females can bald from the back. It starts at the back, so it's like a male pattern baldness. And an easy way to say is if something causes pain and it's uncomfortable, that is probably not good, whether it's heat or whether it's chemicals, and then you should stay away from that. And the more you do it, it's often not good. But if you look at skin and you look at the follicles, an easy way to see if hair loss is permanent, because I see patients here coming with unrealistic expectations, but you get the shininess on the scalp. It looks like the follicles is really lost. It looks like somebody put Glad wrap over your scalp. That shininess is sometimes a sign that it's gone. The hair will never regrow there. So I think we must really treat our scalps and our hair with respect. And I'm sure there's a lot of people outside that that do treat your skin with respect. But I should say that people must be aware of the things that they put on their scalps to prevent permanent hair loss. And unfortunately, it does happen now.
Thank you for that. This next question is one which I think could probably sustain an entire show of its own, but very briefly, please, in response, Wendy would like to know if you could just comment on hair loss associated with menopause. We've all been warned to expect it, Irene. Does it go with the territory and that's all you can do about it?
Yeah, so again, there's multiple ways to go about that. I would say Yes, there's definitely hormonal changes can be associated with hair loss. Remember that hair loss is part of our daily life. Your hair, you are losing hair. It's when it's a, you know, it becomes pathological. So I think females are around menopause, what can happen earlier, you can get this female pattern hair loss. Now, how it differs from male pattern hair loss is that it's not associated with a receding hairline, and it doesn't start from the vertex at the back of your scalp, but it's on top of your scalp. It is this widening of the center of your hair, and you can look at your sometimes at your mother or grandmother and see if there's a genetic predisposition to get it. But it's thinning on top of the hair, so that is one of the things that we do. There's no need to do hormonal blood tests for that. When it becomes dangerous, and when we definitely need to do blood tests, is when a female gets a male pattern baldness, when your frontal hairline is receding, it's a different pattern in the wrong person. And the second thing is what we see now is another condition called telogen effluvium, and that is the one where you lose bunches of hair. And that is the one that I see most commonly in my practice, that people will say that they had COVID 3 months ago, or that they are going into the menopause, or, you know, they stopped their hormonal tablets. So there's this stress on this body. Your body goes through an amount of stress, and the stress can be really anything from a fever to an iron deficiency of extreme blood loss, or having had a baby, or going through the menopause, but having using tablets, for example, starting hormonal tablets, stopping hormonal tablets, all this stress on your scalp can cause a hair loss. And then it's that sudden thinning. And then that sudden thinning of hair is usually temporary, and your hair can go back.
On that happy note, we have to wrap things up, I'm afraid. But Dr. Irene McLaughlin, you've been such an excellent guest. Thank you very much. We'll certainly have to get you back again, because we haven't even touched a fraction of the listener questions that have come through. Thank